Washington versus Michael Armstrong.
Your Honors, may it please the Court, my name is David Allen. Along with Cooper Ottenbecker, who is at counsel table, we represent Michael Armstrong. We'd request 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Very well.
Your Honor, this case follows this Court's decision in State versus Martinez. And as this Court well knows, Martinez held that a warrant is required to test blood that is taken lawfully. In this case, blood was drawn following an accident, and it was drawn on the basis of exigent circumstances. We raised the issue of whether there was sufficient grounds to support exigent circumstances, but that issue is moot if, in fact, Martinez is good law and applies to this case. Certainly, it is good law at this point. As this Court knows, state...
Wasn't Martinez, though, about the scope of the warrant? I mean, there's not a warrant in this case.
Well, I don't read Martinez that narrowly. The way I read Martinez is that it says, and I can read from it, I have it here, but as I understand it, it says even when blood is drawn legally, in that case it was a warrant, the warrant, nevertheless, there has to be a warrant that allows the testing of the blood, not only the seizure of the blood.
All right, so if the warrant had said you can withdraw the blood and you can test it, there would have been no issue in Martinez. Is that correct?
That is correct, Your Honor. And in this case...
And what happened in Martinez is that the warrant simply said you can draw the blood. That's all it said.
Well, that is true. But that is a lot better, I think, in terms of protecting the rights under the Fourth Amendment and the equivalent Washington constitutional grounds than the exigent circumstances drawing of blood, especially in this case, where it was done so half-baked. In other words, what I'm saying is that at least
was there any judicial supervision at all in the drawing and the testing of the blood in this case?
Not one iota. So at least in Martinez, we had a determination by a judicial officer that it was probable cause to seize the blood. We don't have that here. And in Martinez, even where we had a warrant drawing the seizure of the blood, this court was not willing to extend that to the testing of the blood. It said another warrant is required. So I don't see how, given the court's decision in Martinez, an exigent circumstances draw of blood can somehow be more favorable for the state than a warrant that was at least done in the first instance. There wasn't any judicial supervision whatsoever.
So under Article 1, Section 7, if there's a blood draw, it has to be done under authority of law. It has to be authorized by law. And what authorized it, the drawing of the blood in this case would be the exigent circumstances. That you agree with that?
Well, I don't agree that there were exigent circumstances, but I agree with this court statement.
But assuming there were exigent circumstances, it would be lawful to draw the blood.
Just like in Martinez, where there was a warrant, I would agree with that.
And what is there any argument about that there is further investigation into that blood can be undertaken under some authority of law? What would the authority of law be in that case?
Well, I'm not sure I understand the court's questioning, but there were 8 days between the time that the blood was drawn in the instant case.
So there are no longer any exigent circumstances.
There are no exigent circumstances.
And there's no warrant.
No warrant, no exigent circumstances. From the record, it appears that the blood was taken and either placed in some sort of vault or sent to the crime lab, but nothing happened for 8 days. So there can be no claim that there were exigent circumstances. And coming back to the warrant requirement, the lawfully seized requirement, even if this were exigent circumstances, based on Martinez, there would have to be the second step. There would have to be a warrant sought, and that warrant would have to authorize the testing of the blood, which wasn't done here.
Well, I think that the argument would be, and I guess it was disputed in Martinez, the court held otherwise, but the argument is that once you are authorized to draw the blood, what other reason could there be for that authorization other than to test it?
Well, that's the argument that the state made in Martinez before this court and before the Supreme Court, where they argued it on May 8th. And this court, in its decision in Martinez, gives lots of reasons why there has to be a secondary warrant, because blood can be used for so many other purposes. In other words, to do DNA analysis, to check it against DNA databases, to check not only for alcohol but for drugs, and a whole list of other things this court said in Martinez. So I would stand on this court's decision in Martinez, and based on this court's decision in Martinez, I believe.
So if the Supreme Court disagrees with our division on that issue, do you think that resolves the case?
Not at all, because at least in March, if the Supreme Court decides that they could do it on several grounds, I would think that the ground they would do it on would be the one that's proposed by the state. That is, that a warrant that allows seizure impliedly allows testing. We don't have that warrant here that somebody can take an implication from. I know that the state analogized to a court rule in their brief, which allows the state to make a motion in a criminal case to allow for testing, saying, or allows for seizure for testing, saying that by implication that allows for testing because you wouldn't seize it for any other purpose. But in that case, as I've pointed out in my brief, there at least would be an argument before the judge. It would have to be done in open court with notice. So it's much different than what occurred here. So I don't believe that, regardless of what the Supreme Court says, unless somehow their decision is so extensive, it says we don't care how it was taken as long as it was legal, which I guess we'll have to wait and see. But assuming that the Supreme Court affirms, I would think that would be dispositive with this court. And even if the Supreme Court doesn't affirm in Martinez, I believe the second issue we raised, saying that there has to be absent exigent circumstances for testing, which none exist here, the state concedes that, that there has to be at least one warrant authorizing the testing, even though the blood was seized with exigent circumstances. Coming back to my argument on exigent circumstances, I realize I don't have a lot of time to talk about that, but I don't believe the findings by the judge establish exigent circumstances. The officer who drew the blood is supposed to be a DRE, a drug recognition expert, and the officer didn't even have a clue on how to get a telephonic warrant. Importantly, in McNeely, which is the case that precedes these other cases where a warrant is required, the court references, the Supreme Court references the Washington Court Rule 2.3, which allows telephonic warrants, and instead the officer, the DRE officer, talks about what's going to take hours because I have to go somewhere to an office.
You want to go into your rebuttal time?
Just a 30 seconds if I could, or a minute probably, because I have to write out the warrant, I have to go over it, I have to fax it to the judge, and so on and so forth. This court can take judicial notice that the way that it's done is it's done by radio oftentimes. The officer said he didn't think there was cell reception out there, would tie up a channel. Again, the attorneys down below didn't ask how many channels there are, but as we all know, we can take judicial notice. I hope that in the 21st century, you can buy a little Motorola phone with 30 or 40 channels. So I don't believe the judge's finding of exigent circumstances should stand. That's only an issue if Martinez is reversed on all grounds. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court. Amy McLean appearing on behalf of the state of Washington this morning. This court's holding in Martinez appears to have been decided strictly on Fourth Amendment grounds. And although this case is factually distinguishable from Martinez in the sense that in Martinez there was an initial warrant and here there was a warrant exception, obviously if you're going to distinguish between the extraction of the blood and the testing of the blood, then there is some it has relevance to this case. However, I think that what is more factually relevant and what is nearly factually identical to this case is the United States Supreme Court holding in Schmerber, which was an exigent circumstances case. And Schmerber viewed the right to seize the blood as encompassing the right to test it for alcohol at some later time. They did not distinguish those two things as having independent Fourth Amendment significance. I think that I'd also point out that the Ninth Circuit specifically applied Schmerber to the argument that Mr. Armstrong makes here and has held that because the blood...
You're talking about Snyder.
Yes, Snyder. Because the blood was obtained lawfully pursuant to exigent circumstances, the subsequent performance of the blood alcohol test has no independent significance under the Fourth Amendment. I think that this court...
It's two things about that, I guess. One, it's under the Fourth Amendment, and we would also need to look at Article 1, Section 7, and which makes me wonder whether or not this state would follow Snyder. And second, in Riley versus California, the case about the cell phones, they did draw that very same distinction, I think, that they talked about in Martinez, that simply whether the warrant or an exception authorizes the seizure of something, the ability to go further and test it may need further judicial authorization. And in this day and age, it seems to me Schmerber was decided long before the blood had as much significance as it does now, as much information and data as it does now, just like cell phones now are so much different than phones, 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. So I'm not clear that Snyder would be the authority we want to rely on.
Well, you asked two questions, and I'll address them separately. First, with respect to the state constitution perhaps providing a different analysis and more protection, that didn't appear to be the underpinning of the Martinez holding, and that was not argued that there was any sort of extra protection under the state constitution by Mr. Armstrong. So focusing on Fourth Amendment jurisprudence, I think that this court is aware that computers and cell phones are essentially computers. It's the law regarding that and what you can do with those once they've been lawfully seized and to what extent you can search them is not entirely clear. It's far from it at this point in time. There's obviously additional protections that courts are looking to find for searches of computers. And with the reason being that when you seize a computer, when you seize a cell phone and you start looking at it, what you see is, what you have access to is sort of unlimited in scope. That's not the case that we have here. When you see someone's blood, because what you can't, the test is limited by the technology that's performed on it. There's no argument in this case that anything outside of a toxicology screening for blood alcohol content was done.
But under your theory, it could be. Well, and you could do anything. Once you've got the blood, it's within your
that's
control.
That's not the state's argument. And I think that was sort of a misunderstanding of the state's argument in Martinez as well.
I think it was pretty clear since I was on the panel that is what the state actually argued.
Well, I think that...
And that's what they argued to the Supreme Court as well.
I don't think that's true. I wasn't here for the argument in front of your honors.
I listened to the one from the Supreme Court. Yeah,
I did listen to the one in the Supreme Court. I think that what he asked the court to find was that while these questions out there exist as to, obviously there's things that you can do with blood that would be an invasion of privacy, under the facts of the case in Martinez itself, that was not raised. None of that happened. The court's concern is a valid one. However, I think that if you look at Schmerber itself, not only does there have to be these exigent circumstances that would warrant the extraction of the blood, the test itself has to be reasonable in order for it to be a constitutionally valid search. And that the three requirements that this court
Let's say, for example, in this case, if there had been some dispute about who was driving the car and there was blood on the steering wheel, do you think they could have gone ahead and tested for DNA to try to establish who the driver was?
I think that under the current case law, that's not clear whether they could or not. I think that the more prudent course would be at that point. If you're looking to do something further than the blood test for alcohol, the more prudent thing to do would be to get a warrant. I think that, though, however, if you're talking about Martinez, it was a warrant. So there was this finding by a magistrate that there was probable cause to draw the blood. And I think that's to search for evidence of the crime. That's the way the warrant affidavit in Martinez was written. Now, if the crime of DUI obviously requires an element of identity. So if there is an issue of identity, like Your Honor is talking about, and like the hypothetical that was posed in the Supreme Court, where there's blood on the
dash, you could test.
I think that's certainly possible. That's correct.
And here, would there be anything precluding an officer with no authorization from a court relying solely on exigent circumstances for doing any sort of DNA test that they would choose to do?
I don't think that would be constitutional under the facts of this case, because there would not be any what search for evidence would that be conducting if you were going to do the DNA
test? That would be in the discretion of the officer, would it not?
No, I don't think that's true. The facts of this case are is that there was a probable cause to believe that he was impaired. So the exigent circumstances that allowed to that were present to allow for the extraction of the blood would necessarily limit the scope of the evidence that you can look for. And if I could go back to Schmerber, it talks about there being these three factors. First, there has to be a clear indication that the desired evidence will be found, and that's the level of intoxication and impairment. Second, the test chosen must be a reasonable one. And it follows that for a test for DNA under these facts would be unreasonable, because there's no what evidence would you be looking for? Identity wasn't a crime or an issue in this case.
Here's an issue that I have in this case. There's been absolutely no judicial supervision of this blood draw or testing. Absolutely not. No court has ever reviewed this, even for a determination of whether or not there's probable cause to believe that there's something in this blood that could be evidence of a crime. In the state of Washington, under Article 1, Section 7, any search has to be under authority of law.
Yes.
Here, the only authority of law is the exigent circumstances. Once those exigent circumstances cease, there's I'm looking for what other authority there is to do any other test or invasion of this blood beyond what the exigent circumstances permitted.
Well, I think the statute itself that was in place at the time and held to be constitutional by our courts at the time that this blood draw was taken provided the authority of law by which the state could test the blood. I mean, the statute allows for it. Now, under McNeely, if that statute is no longer constitutional, that's a question. But I think that the exigent circumstances in this case, the officer had, I don't think that there's any valid argument here that there was no probable cause to believe that Mr. Armstrong would be
intoxicated. Has there ever been a judicial determination to that effect?
Well, certainly, in the sense that the evidence wasn't suppressed. I mean, I think that if
it wasn't suppressed based on exigent circumstances. There was no finding of probable cause.
Well, not a specific finding of probable cause, but certainly had there not been any probable cause, there wouldn't have been any basis for an exigent circumstances exception to the warrant requirements either. That's sort of implicit.
I don't think those two go hand in hand.
Well, it wasn't raised by Mr. Armstrong. He's never argued that. I don't think that on the facts of this case that would be a credible argument that he could make, with all due respect. In this particular case, that seems highly unlikely. And he was, in fact, intoxicated, and it was evidence of that the scene.
We're not talking about hindsight.
Right.
We're talking about at the time the situation occurs.
Yes.
Is authorized by law? And as far as it seems to me, the only thing that's authorized is the seizure of the blood, because after that, there are no further exigent circumstances.
Well, I disagree that, because under Schmerber, there's no difference constitutionally between those two. The court has held that there is no difference between the extraction and the testing. That is treated as a single event for Fourth Amendment purposes. So if the justification is present for the extraction, why would you extract it if you're not going to test it? I mean, there is no purpose for extracting it. In fact, if you did extract it and then you didn't do anything with it, that would
preserve,
be...
You extract it in order to preserve it until you get a court to tell you that, yes, you may search this blood.
Well, I don't think that under the law that existed at this time, and I don't think under the law that exists then or now, that's ever been a distinguishing factor that has been stated with any clarity by any court. I think all the courts have held to the contrary, that this is a single event. There's not sort of independent significance. And while I understand the sort of logical appeal of Your Honor's question, that's not the state of the law now or then.
Okay.
Your Honors, unless the court has any further questions for me, I'll waive my remaining time.
Thank you.
Thank you.